Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. A couple of hours ago, we told you we almost broke the story. Today, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, on Monday, granted full approval to the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine for people age 16 and older. This is the first coronavirus vaccine approved by the FDA and is expected, I can't even say that with a straight face, and is expected to open the door for more vaccine mandates. And indeed, it has already. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 40, "So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof." On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, the whole world is working with one consent to vaccinate every living human being on the face of the earth, just as Bill Gates prophesied that it would be. This vaccine is so sketchy that it needs booster shots every 8 months, and the CDC says people who were vaccinated early are getting very sick. We're living in the midst of Bible prophecy actively being fulfilled, and as you can see, confusion, misinformation, and outright lies are swirling all around us. The United States has just surrendered to the Taliban, giving them billions in weapons, and the Biden administration is feeding us lies every time they open their mouths. Today on the podcast, we will open our source of absolute truth, the King James Holy Bible, and we're going to help you to make sense of it all. Dark days lie ahead for the saved and the unsaved alike, but we who are washed in the blood have a mission to accomplish, and we will not draw back unto perdition, but we will believe to the saving of the soul. The war is real. The battle is scorching hot, and the time is frightfully short. To the fight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today. Lord, the time is short. We thank you, God, for the praise reports that we've had lately and for the prayer requests. We just thank you, God, for everything that you give us. We pray for Marie in Philadelphia, Lori D. in Pennsylvania, salvation for Sarah, Jacqueline for a new job, Chelsea on the West Coast, Johnny Gonzalez for power to preach and teach and to be a good soul winner, Shauna's dad with stage 4 lung cancer, so many people sick with COVID, Ken Shiner, Jeff and Ann Reed, my employee Megan and her boyfriend. So many people are experiencing this now. And we just pray, Father God, that you would hear our prayers. Rhea says, please include us in your prayer time. Our senior pastor, who is also our father-in-law, is sick after getting the Moderna vaccine. Prayers for my husband and cousin for complete healing. Thank you. Karen says, good afternoon, church family. I know we're supposed to keep our prayers for Sunday, but I really need prayers now for my feet. And Karen has feet issues, and she has plantar fascia. And that is very, very painful. It requires surgery. Shea Castor is healing. Ron is battling COVID. And so many of us are in need of prayer today. And Ronnie says, say some prayers for my mother-in-law and her husband as they are lost and in need of saving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything you give us, for every good gift that comes from above. And Lord, we just commit this time to you and ask you to lead us and guide us and show us the way through these dark times. Lord, you're our light. You're our salvation. You are the name that is above all names. And if you don't give it to us, God, we're not going to have it. If you don't step down and lead and guide and show the way, we're never going to get it done. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So today, Lord, we commit this time to you and ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody. We told you last week this was coming. If you listen to our Friday podcast, we said that in all likelihood, the FDA was going to approve the vaccine either on Monday or one day this week. And it turned out it was today. Take a listen to this clip talking about the Pfizer vaccine. And did you know, a lot of people don't know this, do you know that the Pfizer vaccine has a cute little name that they gave it? Isn't that interesting? It's called Comirnaty, C-O-M-I-R-N-A-T-Y, Comirnaty. That's the name of the Pfizer vaccine. Take a listen. Pfizer names COVID vaccine Comirnaty as FDA grants full approval.
The FDA granting full approval to Pfizer-BioNTech's COVID shot. Let's get to Meg Terrell now with the latest. Meg, I guess we're going to have to get used to the term or the name Comirnaty.
We sure are. We'll see if we start using the brand name, Carl, but that is the name of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine, now getting full FDA approval, of course, the first COVID-19 vaccine to do so. And this is for people ages 16 and up. It will continue to be available under emergency use authorization for people ages 12 to 15. And we're still waiting on clinical trial results for kids under 12. And so that is something that we're going to be looking forward to seeing in the next couple months. So this really is for adults and people in their late teens. And the FDA's acting commissioner, Dr. Janet Woodcock, pointing out that while millions of people have already safely received COVID vaccines, we recognize that for some, the FDA approval of a vaccine may now instill additional confidence to get vaccinated. She says today's milestone puts us one step closer to altering the course of this pandemic in the U.S. The expectation is that this could trigger a lot of employers and universities and other entities to feel comfortable mandating a vaccine that is fully FDA approved and not one that is just available on emergency use authorization, even though many have already taken that step and it's even been through the legal system and has been held up in the courts that you can mandate an EUA cleared vaccine. So we'll have to see, guys, whether this will lead to an increasing sort of domino effect of mandates, and also if it'll tip some folks over who are on the fence, not feeling comfortable yet, but who will start to feel comfortable now. Guys?
Hey, Meg, it's David. Just to, you know, talk about Pfizer for a moment, a bit more here. I mean, they recently said, I think, what they're going to sell $33.5 billion worth of vaccines in 2021. Do we think?
Well, there's an interesting little number. We'll just stop that happy little clip right there. Pfizer is very, very happy to get that FDA approval today. They are going to be selling $33.5 billion worth of vaccine. Is anybody surprised? Bill Gates said multiple times that investing all his money in vaccines was the best investment he ever made. Last year in 2020, 9 high-ranking big pharma people became billionaires. Now, Pfizer is saying from this one product alone, $33.5 billion in sales. Can you imagine how much they're going to have next year? Dr. Ruckman used to say, if something doesn't make sense, there's a buck in it. What did he mean by that? Follow the money. When something is suspicious and something doesn't look right and something doesn't make sense and something smells funny and something generates more questions than answers, follow the money.
That this raises their sales forecast even beyond that?
It's entirely possible. I mean, they have more capacity to sell, so it could go higher. You know, part of the issue has been getting access to countries that haven't been able to get vaccines yet. And so, well, that's not really going to change the equation there. But, you know, whether this becomes more of a repetitive revenue stream and the full FDA approval certainly plays into that. And also, we could see changes in the way Pfizer, you know, markets this. Now that it's a fully approved product, will we see direct-to-consumer advertising of the COVID vaccine? I've asked Pfizer that question to see what their plans are, and we'll let you know what we hear. But this could kind of change that sort of communication we hear from the company, too.
Shepard Smith here. Thanks for watching.
So there you have it. There you have Pfizer making record profits off a vaccine that has caused almost a million adverse reactions and killed tens of thousands of people. But you can't talk about that. You never see a story where they talk about an adverse reaction. And if you do see one, they always put the word rare in the headline to make you think it's a rare thing, when in reality, there's hundreds of thousands of people having adverse reactions to these shots. I know people personally who have taken the shot and they're suffering. People have died from taking this vaccine, but you will never, ever, ever see that in the news. Even the CDC's own VAERS website, they have disavowed their own website telling you it's not reliable. And doesn't anybody think that that's a suspicious thing? Doesn't anybody think that that's an unusual thing? That the CDC's own vaccine adverse reaction reporting site, the CDC says it's not reliable as a source of information? Well, if it's not reliable, why do they have it? Why do they put it up there? $33 billion in profit. And that's just Pfizer. I wonder how much Moderna is going to make when they get approved. And AstraZeneca and all the rest of those people. Bill Gates is making billions of dollars from his investment. He's funded every single one of these people. Remember last year when he said he was going to personally finance 7 vaccine factories? Well, he did. Vaccine factories like Pfizer and BioNTech and Moderna and AstraZeneca. You go digging and you don't even have to dig very deep and you're going to find the Bill and Melinda Gates cashed checks all over the place. Bill Gates said it was the best investment he ever made. Bill Gates is making more money from vaccines than he ever made from Microsoft. And Microsoft made him the richest man in the world. So how much money do you think Bill Gates is making from vaccines? Bill Gates, who has never been photographed wearing a mask. Yep, that's these people. Well, New York City didn't waste any time. The Associated Press reported today that all New York City public school teachers and other staffers will now have to get vaccinated against the coronavirus. No exceptions. You are not allowed to opt out of the vaccine if you are a school teacher, if you work in a school system or an education system. And years ago, I used to do some website design work on a website that was, it was built to deal with all the different schools and graduations, and 20 years ago, I was shocked how many students they had in the five boroughs system. It's not just Manhattan. It's Manhattan, Queens, Bronx, Brooklyn, and Staten Island. Well, they announced today, right on the heels of Pfizer approving, 148,000 school employees. They have until September 27th, a little less than 5 weeks from right now. 148,000 people in New York City are now mandated to be jabbed by the 27th. And Bill de Blasio said, I don't have a clip. I mean, this news is like literally breaking while we speak. Bill de Blasio said there will be no exceptions. You remember Bill de Blasio from last year. You remember how he stood up at that church in the Bronx and he said, well, it's not like it's the mark of the beast. Isn't that funny how all these unsaved people, they're all well aware of what the mark of the beast is. Kind of funny how that works. They're not saved. They don't read the Bible. But they sure know what the mark of the beast is. Bill Gates stood up in a... Bill de Blasio stood up in a church back in December 6th of 2020. And he was there to reassure people that you don't have anything to worry about from the coming vaccine. I see a lot of churches are going to be falling prey to this. You're going to see all these evangelical and lukewarm Laodicean churches, especially the charismatic churches. You're going to see them all fall one by one. And you're going to watch churches become vaccination centers. It's already started to happen. But you're going to see it all across the country. You're going to see it all across the world. You're going to see churches becoming vaccination distribution centers. Will that be the mark of the beast? No, that won't be the mark of the beast. But it's a nice warm-up. It's a nice appetizer. It's getting you thinking in the right direction. It's getting you ready to believe that you can't be safe without an injection from the government. So now in New York, 148,000 people have 4.5 weeks to go get their first jab. De Blasio says, no excuses and no exceptions. The military chimed in today as well. Many of you may remember that my youngest daughter had been talking about joining the United States Air Force. She had been in touch with a recruiter and she was studying to take the entrance exam. And she was very, very excited about following her grandfather's footsteps, my dad. My dad was in the U.S. Army Air Force back in 1944 and 45. He served during World War II, back when the Air Force was part of the Army. And my daughter was excited about following his footsteps and joining the Air Force. Well, guess what? She's not joining the Air Force, and here's why.
As you all are aware, the FDA approved full licensure of the Pfizer vaccine this morning. And as also I'm sure you're aware, back in August on the 9th, the Secretary articulated that it was his intent to mandate the COVID-19 vaccines upon FDA licensure or by mid-September to seek a waiver from the president. So now that the Pfizer vaccine has been approved, the department is prepared to issue updated guidance requiring all service members to be vaccinated. A timeline for vaccination completion will be provided in the coming days. The health of the force is, as always, our military and our civilian employees, families, and communities is a top priority. So it's important to remind everyone that these efforts ensure the safety of our service members and promote the readiness of our force, not to mention the health and safety of the communities around the country in which we live.
So there you have the spokesman for the U.S. military. That represents 1.1 million people actively serving. And they're going to make it mandatory for every man and woman serving in all six branches of the United States military. Well, I think we can see the handwriting on the wall at this point. If they're going to make all school teachers and healthcare workers get it, if they're going to make the entire military get it, on what basis do they then say, well, there's some people who can opt out of it? And this is what you have to begin to start thinking about. On the FDA.gov website, here's the fine print on the approved vaccine from Pfizer, Comirnaty. That name just sounds like it's right from a Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins Left Behind book, Comirnaty. Based on the totality of scientific evidence available to the FDA, it is reasonable to believe that the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine may be effective in preventing COVID-19 and that, when used under the conditions described in this authorization, the known and potential benefits of Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 may be used to prevent COVID-19 outweigh its known and potential risks. And then you turn the page, and then you read this. It does not prevent COVID-19 breakthroughs or transmissions. So that is straight from the FDA website. I'm going to put the link into the chat room so Jeanette can add this to her notes. The FDA, they approved Pfizer, there's so many of these names in my head, Comirnaty, Moderna, Pfizer, BioNTech. It's like a word salad. But the FDA today said it does not prevent COVID-19 breakthroughs and it does not prevent COVID-19 transmission. So I ask you, if that's the case, if that's what the FDA said today, and I believe them, it's on their website. If it doesn't prevent vaccinated people from getting sick, and if it doesn't prevent vaccinated people from transmitting the virus to unvaccinated people, then on what basis are they calling it a vaccine? I mean, shouldn't they be calling it something else? Because when you think of a vaccine, what do you think of? We don't have polio because somebody created a vaccine and it worked. We don't have smallpox because somebody created a vaccine and it worked. Well, somebody created a vaccine for COVID-19, but now the FDA, on the same day that they approve it, they are telling you in the fine print, it will not stop vaccinated people from catching the virus, and it will not stop vaccinated people from transmitting the virus. Is it just me? I mean, you can tell me. Is it just me? Am I the only one that hears stuff like that and I scratch my head? Remember years ago, there was a talk show host by the name of Arsenio Hall. And he was very, very popular, I think, back in the 90s. And he had a whole segment on his program called Things That Make You Go, Hmm. And he would make that thinking emoji face years before they had the thinking emoji. And Arsenio Hall would ask a really, really good question. Things that make you go, Dr. Ruckman said if it doesn't make sense, there's a buck in it. Pfizer says there's $33.5 billion in it for them. The whole world is changing. The whole world is shifting. The world that you were born into does not exist. It is gone. And it is never coming back. There is a new world that is being created before your very eyes. And it's being created by the New World Order. Now, we told you this was coming. We told you last year there was a man by the name of Klaus Schwab. And he runs something called the World Economic Forum. You know, when Adolf Hitler wrote his Mein Kampf book, he was very bold and he was very open. And he wrote that book while sitting in a prison cell. And Adolf Hitler wrote this book basically broadcasting his plans and what he was going to do to the Jewish people, and then defying the entire world to stop him. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's an incredible thing. When Adolf Hitler is sitting in his prison cell in 1924, 1925, and he writes Mein Kampf, and he says, if I ever get out of here, and if I ever get control of Germany, this is what I'm going to do. And he laid it out. He said that the Jews were the problem, and that problem needed to be solved. And Adolf Hitler laid out in his book great and graphic plans of what he was going to do when he got to the point when he was ruling Germany and taking over Europe. Now, why am I talking about Mein Kampf and Adolf Hitler in conjunction with what's happening today? Well, Klaus Schwab last year, he wrote a book called The Fourth Industrial Revolution. And in that book, he boldly laid out the plans by the New World Order to change everything. And he wrote it in the book. He gave multiple interviews. Take a listen to Klaus Schwab with his thick German accent. In stunning irony, as we talk about Adolf Hitler, everybody's joking now, show me your papers. You will show me your papers. And when people say that, it's a reference to Nazi Germany when they made people show their papers, and if you couldn't show the right papers, they hauled you off to a concentration camp. But there's nothing funny about the phrase, show me your papers, in 2021. Because that's exactly what we've returned to. You know what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 1:9? Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon. Bible says he had the wisdom of God. The Bible says that Solomon was the wisest human being. He wasn't the smartest. No man with 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's not a smart person. But the Bible says he was the wisest man that ever lived. You know, Albert Einstein was a really, really smart person. And the smartest thing that Albert Einstein ever did is he was living in Berlin, and he looked at what was happening with Adolf Hitler. And while he still had the opportunity, Albert Einstein packed his bags and left Nazi Germany before they shut the door. Now, you can talk about E equals MC squared, and you can talk about the theory of relativity, the general theory of relativity, and you can talk about all the unbelievable mathematical equations and the things that he wrote about time travel, and you can take all that stuff and you can throw it off to the side. The smartest thing that Albert Einstein ever did, hands down, with nothing even in second place, was he looked at what was coming in Nazi Germany, he believed what he saw, and he hightailed it out of there. And he got out while Germany was still allowing the Jewish people to leave if they wanted to. That's how smart Albert Einstein was. He looked at the signs of the times and he got out. Well, King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he said this, Ecclesiastes 1:9, "The thing that hath been is the thing which shall be, and that which is done is the thing which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already of old, it hath been already of old time, which was before us." If you study the history of Nazi Germany, if you study Adolf Hitler's rise to power, and how everything changed in Europe, and then you look at what's happening around the world in 2021, you are going to see history repeating itself. Now, I said all that to say this. Adolf Hitler wrote Mein Kampf, and he bragged to the entire world what he was going to do if he ever got power. Klaus Schwab did the same thing. He wrote a book called The Fourth Industrial Revolution, The Great Reset. And he told the entire world what the New World Order was going to do before it happened.
It's at the end. What the Fourth Industrial Revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities. When I wrote the book, I started to write it four years ago. It was published 3 years ago. It was sold, very interesting, over a million times in the world. And what is interesting is that 800,000 copies, more than 800,000 copies of those 2 million, were sold in three countries alone: China, Japan, and South Korea. And you may be interested, who was the biggest buyer with 16,000 copies at the same time? It was the Korean military. Because the Fourth Industrial Revolution will have a major impact also on warfare.
So there you have Klaus Schwab talking about the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Here's another clip. I'm just going to play a minute or two of it. Take a listen. Klaus Schwab at Davos 2021 talking about the agenda, the Great Reset.
With us in a studio, we have Professor Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, who can give us the context to this year's very special and very different meeting. Klaus.
Good morning and good afternoon. 2021 will be a crucial, it will be a pivotal year for the future of humankind. It will be crucial because we have to continue to fight the virus, but we have to move out of the pandemic, and we have to create sound economic growth, which is more resilient, more inclusive, and more sustainable. But what we have to do above all is to restore trust in our world. Trust is needed in order to overcome the crisis, but trust is needed as a base to have a future-oriented mind and to construct the world for tomorrow. There are two requirements for restoring trust. First, we have to substantially reinforce global cooperation again. And second, we have to engage all stakeholders into the solution of the problems we face. And here we have to engage particularly business. For this reason, I'm so happy to say that, like in the previous year, the global leadership from all walks of life is coming together in the forthcoming Davos Agenda Week. What we do is we launch a process to build the future. The first step is the Davos Agenda Week, starting next Monday. And the purpose of this week is to take stock, to look at the state of the world, to exchange visions and ideas, and to show directions. But then, late May, we will have the first in-person global summit taking place in Singapore. But we also have all our task forces, multiple task forces, which have met over 300 times in the last months, and also we organized two preparatory summits for this Davos Agenda Week. We have defined five policy areas, and of course they are all interconnected. First, driving responsible industry transformation. Business finally is moving to accept the stakeholder principle. And we will publish at the beginning of next week a book on stakeholder capitalism, and the subtitle is A Global Economy That Works for Progress, People and Supply. The second policy area which we will address is enhancing global stewardship. And here we will focus particularly also in view COP26 on the climate crisis and on moving to a carbon-free, carbon-zero world. The third area is designing fair economic and social systems. And here, one of the gravity centers of our efforts is, of course, the future of jobs, how to create decent livelihoods for everybody. The fourth area is technologies for good, and the fifth is global cooperation. How can we create a multilateral system which is more inclusive, which is adapted to the needs of the 21st century? I would call it the multilateral system 4.0. In summary, 2021 is a decisive year to recreate trust, but trust requires progress in addressing all the challenges we are confronted with. The forum, as a public-private platform to catalyze and also to facilitate and to advance this process in fighting COVID and shaping a more peaceful and prosperous post-corona era, is putting all its efforts behind making this process consisting of the Davos Agenda Week, our task forces, and Singapore a success. Thank you.
So let me ask
you. Thank you very
much. Oh, brother. So let me ask you something. There's Klaus Schwab sounding like a Nazi from World War II Germany, telling you that the entire world has to change, global corporations have to take over everything, and we have to rebuild trust in the system. Do you feel a lot of trust today? If you live in America, you have a president that lies every time he opens his mouth. Joe Biden has told you nothing but lies about Afghanistan. Nothing but lies. His lies have been so bad and so egregious that even hardcore bottom feeder news organizations like CNN and MSNBC and NPR, they are taking him to task. Nobody has called him a liar yet, But that's absolutely what he is. He's either out of his mind or he's lying. There's no two ways about it. Everything Joe Biden has said over the last 8 days has been patently false. It has been completely untrue. Every time you turn the news on, somebody is giving you some version of something that's not true. I saw in the chat room a few minutes ago, somebody was asking where on page 5 in that document from the FDA, and I got my information mixed up a little bit. That was the CDC that said that people who are vaccinated can still get COVID and they can still transmit it. It was not the FDA. That was my mistake. It was the CDC. Take a listen.
Maybe if I might, Jeff, just add, you know, another piece of data that we've been looking at is our international colleagues who are ahead of us both in the Delta surge as well as have vaccinated a few weeks ahead of us in terms of large portions of their population that have been vaccinated. And data we've seen from our international colleagues, specifically and especially Israel, have demonstrated a worsening of infections amongst vaccinated people over time. And so we remain concerned about that as we see in the context of Delta variants some breakthroughs that are occurring and decreased vaccine effectiveness that is occurring in the context of infection. We are watching other countries, the experience of other countries carefully, and concerned that we too will see what Israel is seeing, which is worsening infections over time.
Good morning, Ms. Garcia.
Good morning, Sunshine. I miss you. I could kiss you right now.
Yeah, well, someday.
Curfew is now in effect. All unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
A grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
Beginning thermal scan. Thermal scan normal.
A horrifying new development today.
New data confirms the virus attacks the brain tissue.
Get out of me!
Whoa! I'm immune!
Worldwide death toll rises to over 110 million.
All infected Americans are being forced into quarantine camps.
Sarah, what's going on?
Department of Sanitation.
Sarah, talk to me.
I think my neighbor has a fever.
It'll be so much easier if you just open the door. Mrs. Grant, you have visitors.
Sarah, do not open that door.
No! Please! I'm not safe!
Beginning thermal scan. 3, 2, 1. Anomaly detected. Armed guards will be arriving in 4 to 6 hours. You must not attempt to leave your home, or you will be shot on sight.
This is my message to you.
I know you're in there.
They're coming. I'll let you go.
No.
Stop!
Say goodbye to me.
Sarah, I'm not letting you give up.
This is my message.
Sometimes we have to do things we don't want to survive.
I'm trying to save the one person left in my life that matters to me.
I can't help you. What you're talking about is illegal.
And remember, stay safe, sane, and sanitized.
And there you have that wonderful movie trailer from the movie Songbird from last year, 2020. If you haven't watched the movie, I highly recommend that you go out and see it. And of course, it's just Hollywood fantasy. I wouldn't worry about that becoming true anytime soon. Maybe. Maybe not. Bill de Blasio said 148,000 people in New York now have no choice as to whether or not that they want to receive the vaccine if they want to keep their jobs. United States military said today 1.1 plus million people. They've got to take the vaccine if they want to stay in the military. Where did all this come from?
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
There it is, George H.W. Bush. He said that September 11th, 1991, 10 years to the day before his son was pretending to read a book in a classroom called My Pet Goat. Well, his son Marvin was overseeing security on the World Trade Center. Isn't it kind of funny how all those things are tied together? George Bush Sr. announced the coming New World Order. His son, George W. Bush, pretended to read My Pet Goat in a classroom while the towers were being brought down, the very same towers that his brother Marvin was working to make sure that they were secure. But I'm sure that's just all crazy conspiracy theory. You know what the words of My Pet Goat were? You know, if you remember that clip, the school teacher was reading from the book and then asking the children to read along with her. And it was a book called My Pet Goat. And they were talking about some very, very interesting and unusual things in My Pet Goat. These were the words that she asked those students to repeat. Kite, hit, steal, plane, must. Kite, hit, steal, plane, must. Isn't that unbelievably coincidental? That the son of the president who said that you could expect a coming world order, 10 years to the day that his father made that announcement, he's sitting in this classroom and these sixth grade students are reciting kite, hit, steal, plane, must. Now, if you were a Las Vegas odds maker, what do you think the chances of that would be if you had to bet money on it? I think it would be one in a trillion. That's what I think. I think that would be literally one in a trillion. The chances of George H.W. Bush announcing on September 11th, 1991, that we are going to have a new world order, and then 10 years later, his son is president of the United States, sitting in a classroom while the teacher is having the students repeat, kite, hit, steal, plane must, as the Twin Towers are being brought down, and he's sitting there looking as guilty as original sin. And his brother Marvin was on the board for the security company. I don't know. That's, to me, that's a crazy coincidence. But it's not so crazy when you realize that they've been telling us for decades that this was coming. Take a listen.
But they're the ones who should be arresting, not me.
Why didn't you say that before? What do we got here? Cam, this is William Klein. He was wrecking an office.
I just wanted to meet them face to face. I wanted them to admit what they were doing.
Who is they? He was in the office of the Trilateral Commission.
Trilateral Commission?
Yeah, the Trilateral Commission.
All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?
It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller to bring together business and political leaders from the United States, Europe, Japan, so they could work together for better economic and political cooperation between their nations.
Yeah, but that's what they'd like us to believe. But you see, what they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries and create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
I take it they're pressing charges?
Yeah, well, he broke a globe and some UNICEF artwork. Well, they're in on it, too.
Okay, Mr. Klein.
I'm telling you, our whole way of life as we know it is in jeopardy.
I appreciate that information.
But I have the documented evidence. It's all in there. Show him.
Well, he's got these magazines here. Conspiracy Review. Suppressed Truth Roundup?
The whole master plan is exposed.
Yeah, well,
You're still not convinced, huh? would you like to hear the names of just a few of the people who have been on the Trilateral Commission?
Not particularly.
James Earl Carter. Heard of him?
Look, Mr. Klein...
Henry Kissinger. You heard of him? Walter Mondale.
Who? Mr. Klein, this is
John Anderson, George Bush. Now, you remember at the convention, everybody thought it was going to be Ford for Veep. You know what happened? David Rockefeller just picked up a phone, put in a call. Hey, Ronnie, forget Jerry, it's George. Bye. No matter who won in November, they had their man in the White House.
Are you through?
There you have it, an episode of Barney Miller from 1981, talking about people like George H.W. Bush, people like David Rockefeller. That clip maybe could have spoken about Anthony Fauci as well. We brought you the article last year that 2 months after 9/11, Anthony Fauci was photographed at a awards ceremony for the Carnegie Foundation, standing next to Bill Gates Sr., David Rockefeller, and George Soros. Isn't that an amazing coincidence? I told you a couple of minutes ago that school teacher where George W. Bush was pretending to sit there and read the book, and she had the students recite those words. Well, I found the clip. Take a listen for yourself.
Get ready to read all these words on this page without making a mistake. Look at the letter at the end and remember the sound it makes. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready to read this word the fast way. Get ready.
Key.
Yes. Sound it out. Get ready.
Key.
Sound it out. Get ready.
Key.
What word?
Kit.
Yes, kit. Boys and girls, sound this word out. Get ready.
Steel.
What word?
Steel.
Yes, steel. Read these words the fast way. Get ready.
Play.
Yes, play. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Let's read these words the fast way without making a mistake. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready.
Kick.
Yes, kick. Get ready.
Steel.
Yes, steel. Get ready.
Plane.
Yes, plane. Get ready.
Mud.
Yes, mud. Or do you guys pick your reader up from under your seat? Open your book up to lesson.
Well, there you have it. There's that actual school teacher. George Bush was sitting in that classroom. Kite, steel, hit, plane, must. And when you go back and you watch the video of that, George Bush looks like the guiltiest face of any human being I have ever seen. And he's sitting there, knowing what the plan was, knowing that his brother had done the dirty work that he had overseen. My younger brother worked, I think, on the 83rd floor of Tower 2. And he left about 6 months before the towers came down. I had stopped to visit him one day because I was working across the street at the World Financial Center. That was my very first professional web design job in the summer of, when was that? The summer of the end of 2000. And I visited my brother up on the 83rd floor of Tower 2 of the World Trade Center. And it was scary feeling that building sway and feeling it move in the wind. And I told my brother, you got to get out of there. And about 6 months later, he got a new job. And then about 6 months after that, the towers came down. But did you know that the summer before the towers came down, they were working on the elevators in both buildings on the exact floors where those planes hit? We have a very special presentation coming up September. Just a few weeks from today. Mark your calendars. We have a very special podcast September 10th. That's in about 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And we're going to be exposing how those twin towers actually came down and the people behind it. Everything that's happening right now, everything, is all connected to everything that I've been talking about since this program began. George H.W. Bush looked into the camera and said, and when we're successful, and we will be, we are going to have a new world order that is controlled by the United Nations. That's what he said. And in 2021, what do we see? We see a new world order. After having created a pandemic with a virus that had gain-of-function research performed on it, and then released from a lab in Wuhan, China, and is now in the second phase of killing people, so many more people have died of Delta than they did of the original COVID. I was talking with a friend of mine just this morning about that. And he knows a handful of people that have died. And so do I. And I know bucket loads full of people who are sick with it right now. And today they say that they approved the virus. They approved the virus a year and a half ago. They approved the vaccine. And instantly, we start seeing these announcements, mandatory vaccinations. This is the Great Reset. This is the Fourth Industrial Revolution. This is what Klaus Schwab was talking about at Davos in 2019. He said a new economic era is coming. Bill Gates has been saying for years that we need global vaccines and global vaccinations.
CO2
is warming the planet. And the equation on CO2 is actually a very straightforward one. If you sum up the CO2 that gets emitted, that leads to a temperature increase. And that temperature increase leads to some very negative effects. The effects on the weather, perhaps worse, the indirect effects in that the natural ecosystems can't adjust to these rapid changes, and so you get ecosystem collapses. Now, the exact amount of how you map from a certain increase in of CO2 to what temperature will be and where the positive feedbacks are, there's some uncertainty there, but not very much. And there's certainly uncertainty about how bad those effects will be, but they will be extremely bad. I asked the top scientists on this several times, do we really have to get down to near zero? Can't we just, you know, cut it in half or a quarter? And the answer is that until we get near to zero, the temperature will continue to rise. And so that's a big challenge. It's very different than saying, you know, we're a 12-foot high truck trying to get under a 10-foot bridge and we can just sort of squeeze under. This is something that has to get to zero. Now, we put out a lot of carbon dioxide every year, over 26 billion tons. For each American, it's about 20 tons. For people in poor countries, it's less than 1 ton. It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. Now, that's back from high school algebra. But let's...
You'll notice that Bill Gates said that one of these numbers has got to get pretty near to zero. And the very first category he's going to talk about is people.
Let's take a look. First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3.
Did you hear what Bill Gates just said? That if they do a really good job with new vaccines and health care and reproductive services, which is liberal code for abortion on demand, Bill Gates just said that they would be able to effectively lower the population by 15%. That is 1.2 billion people. Bill Gates said this back in 2015, and nobody batted an eye. Now, let me tell you something else that happened that people weren't paying attention to. The World Health Organization, held a global vaccination summit in September of 2019. And I'm going to put the link into the chat room. The World Health Organization in September of 2019, they held a global vaccination summit. And this was the agenda. Are you ready for this? The agenda of the 2019 World Health Organization Global Vaccination Summit, keeping in mind that Bill Gates is the largest single donor to the World Health Organization. He's given them $4.1 billion. Bill Gates is absolutely deeply in bed with the World Health Organization. And this was their agenda back in September of 2019. Roundtable number one. In vaccines we trust, stepping up action to increase vaccine confidence. Roundtable number two, The Magic of Science, Boosting Vaccine Research, Development, and Innovation. Roundtable number 3, Vaccines Protecting Everyone Everywhere. The idea of a global vaccine. This is what the agenda was 4 months before COVID came to America. In Vaccines We Trust, The Magic of Science, and Vaccines Protecting Everyone Everywhere. And that was the official agenda of the World Health Organization Global Vaccine Summit. Then you'll remember, in October 15th of 2019, just 1 month after the Global Vaccine Summit, they held an event called Event 201. And of course, this was sponsored by Bill Gates. And over 65 leaders in the military, in science, in research, in technology, they all met at the command of Bill Gates, and they wargamed what it would look like if the entire world had a coronavirus outbreak. Event 201. Four weeks before the COVID-19 virus would be released from the lab in Wuhan, China. So first you had a global vaccine summit. Then you had Event 201. And then you had all hell breaking loose around the world. And then you had the very first case of COVID-19 10 miles from where Bill Gates lived in Washington State. 10 miles from Bill Gates' front door. That's where the very first COVID patient, 10 miles from Bill Gates' house. And again, I'm not saying that Bill Gates financed all this. I'm just simply giving you what the facts are. Bill Gates did finance Event 201 4 weeks after the Global Vaccination Summit, which called for a universal vaccine for every living human being on the face of the earth. That's a fact. Event 201 is a fact. And the fact that the very first COVID patient appeared at the Evergreen Health Hospital in Kirkland, Washington, 10 miles from Bill Gates' front door in Medina, which is where he lived at the time. But nobody finds that suspicious. Nobody finds that unusual in any way. Now, we told you last year that mandatory vaccines were coming. We told you last year that the vaccine passport was coming. And man, oh man, we got shut down and suspended so many times on Facebook for saying that vaccines were going to be made mandatory. We got shut down and suspended so many times on Twitter for saying that there was going to be a vaccine passport in America and around the world. And where are we now? New York City, mandatory vaccines. U.S. military, mandatory vaccines. Now, of course, they had these announcements ready. Nobody was taken by surprise. It's not like they said, oh, look, the FDA just approved the vaccine. What do we do? No, they have known that this was coming for quite some time. Back in December of 2020, we told you about something called the Biderman's Chart of Coercion. And Biderman was a psychologist in 1956, and he created a framework for understanding the methods that armies use to extract false confessions from prisoners of war. Psychologists now believe that abusers in many different situations use the same methods to achieve control over their victims. Now, what are the methods of Biderman's chart of coercion? Isolation. They get you off by yourself. That instills you with fear and uncertainty. Monopolization of perception. There is only one authorized line that you can take. And what do we see in 2021? Everything is pro-vaccine. If you say anything anti-vaccine, if you dare talk about the people with the adverse reactions, if you dare talk about the people who have died from taking the vaccines, you are immediately shut down. My podcast on Friday was taken off of YouTube within 15 minutes. Because I violated their standards regarding truth-telling about the vaccine. So the second point of Biderman's chart of coercion is a monopolization of perception. Meaning, this is how I think, and this is how you have to think if you want to get out of here. And that's exactly what they have done. The mainstream media, the Biden administration, Emmanuel Macron, Boris Johnson, Angela Merkel, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, Bill Gates, George Soros. They have absolutely monopolized the perception because they do not want there to be a dissenting point of view. Well, what book did we read about that in? We read about that in 1984. 1984, the book, is about three quarters of the way to being fully realized in our society today. The world that George Orwell warned against is here. And it's growing like an out-of-control cancer. A couple of weeks ago, back in July of this year, I published a story called George Soros and Bill Gates Form Global Access Health Partnership to Buy Mologic, a COVID rapid test kit company in the United Kingdom. And all I did was I simply pointed out how odd it was that for the very first time, billionaire George Soros and billionaire Bill Gates actually put their money on the same table, in the same pile, and have formed a company to become business partners. Now, you can look that up. Now, whatever you may think about that, whatever your interpretation of that may be, well, that's your opinion. But the fact that George Soros and Bill Gates formed a company to sell COVID-19 rapid test kits, that is a stated fact. And yet, when I published this article on Facebook, it was immediately taken down. Now, why would Facebook take that down? Well, because we told you years ago. How many years ago? 5 years ago, if you've been listening, I told you the other day, if you're a longtime reader and a longtime listener to Now the End Begins, you are more informed about what's actually happening than 90% of everybody that you know. Back on December 16th of 2016, we published an article called Facebook Puts George Soros-Funded Group, the IFCN, in charge of determining what goes on the Facebook news feed. It's a group called the International Fact-Checking Network. And the IFCN is hosted by the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. A small little look into the Poynter Institute website, you find that the International Fact-Checking Network is openly funded by the George Soros Open Society Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Google. Now, does anybody find that interesting? That the fact-checking part of Facebook is a group that is funded by Bill Gates and George Soros. And that's a fact. You can go look it up. George Orwell said this in 1984. We know that no one seizes power with the intention of relinquishing it. Power is not a means, it's an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. The object of persecution is persecution. The object of torture is torture. The object of power is power. Now maybe you begin to understand me. That's what George Orwell said. That's the time that we're living in. So in the very same year that Donald Trump was elected president, the International Fact-Checking Network, funded by Bill Gates and George Soros, is now in charge of deciding what stays on Facebook and what needs to be taken down. They have put everything in place. They haven't been working on this for the last 2 years. They haven't been working on this for the last 5 years or the last 10 years. They have been working on this since the end of World War II in 1945 with the establishment of the United Nations. They have been working on this for nearly 80 years now. How long of a time is that? That's a generation in the Bible. One generation they've been working on this. David Rockefeller said this about the Bilderberger Group. Did you know that for the first 40 years, the Bilderberger Group, they held their meetings in secret? But these meetings were not secret to the press. The entire mainstream media for four decades knew about this plan, and they helped them to do it. This is what David Rockefeller said in his book Memoirs. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination that's been practiced in last centuries. We told you back in 2009, with Now the End Begins, in the first graphic that I ever made for the website. On the right-hand corner, it said this, a quote from James Paul Warburg. We shall have world government whether or not we like it. The only question is whether this world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. And James Paul Warburg stood before the United States Senate in 1952, and he uttered those words. And those words were recorded into the Senate record. On the bottom left-hand corner of that graphic, I wrote this. For generations, the Bible has warned of the coming end of days, and you are now living in that time. America, a nation raised up by the hand of God to spread the gospel and to be a beacon of freedom for people around the world, is about to be forever silenced by those people sworn to protect her leaders. Kamala Harris, the woman who is about to become the next president of the United States, and maybe even before the end of the year, Kamala Harris thought it was funny when she was asked yesterday, as she was boarding a plane to flee the country to go to Vietnam, has there ever been a more useless vice president than Kamala Harris? The only one that I can think of that was as useless as Kamala Harris was Spiro T. Agnew, the man who did literally nothing. Kamala Harris does less than that. But listen to what Kamala Harris said when she was asked about Americans who are stranded in Afghanistan right now. Take a listen.
What's your response to a bunch of Americans?
Hold on. Slow down, everybody. I want to talk about two things. First,
it doesn't matter what she said after that. Her first reaction was to laugh. Right now, there's about 15,000 Americans stranded in Afghanistan. Guess who reappeared over the weekend? ISIS. Donald Trump had ISIS beaten down to a handful of soldiers. In 7 months of Joe Biden, ISIS has returned. The United States warned today of Islamic State threat to Americans in Afghanistan. That's breaking news today. ISIS, forget the Taliban, ISIS is now operating in Afghanistan. The Taliban is operating in Afghanistan since they took control last week. Kamala Harris laughed when she was asked about the current situation on the ground in Afghanistan. America right now is being reshuffled. And the only way that you can reshuffle it, there's a whole lot that you can do behind the scenes, but the bulk of it has to be done in public. And what you're watching right now is you are watching America being dismantled. And the America that's going to rise in the place of what's being taken down right now is going to be the polar opposite of the America that you've been raised in. They're creating woke America right now. Do you remember back in April, May, and June, especially in the month of June? Do you remember all those tweets from people in the U.S. State Department and how proud that they were that the LGBTQ plus P for pedophile flag was now flying over all the U.S. embassies? And the head of the Pentagon and the military bragging about diversity. Did you get to see that commercial, that TV commercial for the Army with the transgender? talking about how the military was going to pay for her reassignment surgery, and actually encouraging people to join the military because the military will pay for your reassignment gender-changing transplant surgery. Well, that's what the military's become now. The leaders I'm talking about, not the soldiers. We love the military. We love the men and women of the United States military. But they're leaders. Well, I can't even use the expression that they are. But you can just fill in the blanks in your own head. The United States military is now woke. And you know what a woke military does? It gets its butt kicked. That's what woke militaries do. They get destroyed. The United States of America, the world's most powerful nation, right now is being held captive by 75,000 Taliban soldiers. But you don't have to worry. We're woke. Nobody's human rights are being taken lightly. Everybody who wants to get transgender surgery can get it. And the military will pay for it. But you can't be woke and defend the country at the same time. There's no such thing as a woke soldier. If you're woke, you're weak. And the people who run the American military, they have created a woke military. And because we are now woke, we are unable to evacuate American citizens from a country that we abandoned in the middle of the night. We left Afghanistan so fast, we didn't even tell the people in Afghanistan who trusted us that we were leaving. And now our woke military is incapable of extracting the 15,000 Americans that are stranded in Afghanistan. The State Department said yesterday, don't go to the airport. It's not safe. And we can't keep you safe. Did you ever think this day would come? Well, it's here. We got the woke military. 1.1 million people in the woke military. And we are being told what to do by 75,000 Taliban soldiers. Almost makes you think it's intentional. Almost makes you think that somebody's taking a dive. That's what they call it in professional sports. When a team conspires to intentionally lose a game because somebody bet on them and they want to win that bet. So they pay off a team to take a dive. When I look at this situation in Afghanistan, that's what I think. I think the entire country is taking a dive. And they're doing it openly. And Joe Biden, he gets in front of that microphone. He has no conscience. He has no sense of shame. And he opens his mouth and repeatedly says things that are absolutely not true. You know, right now, today, Joe Biden is meeting with the WNBA champions. And he's holding a nice little event for them at the White House. Isn't that nice? That Joe Biden would want to meet with the Women's National Basketball Association instead of rescuing trapped Americans? America's taking a dive. The leaders of the world are outraged. Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of London, of England, he called Joe Biden an imbecile over the weekend. World leaders are fuming at America right now because their soldiers are trapped as well. Emmanuel Macron's getting his soldiers out. Think about that. Emmanuel Macron has no problem getting his soldiers out. I think we're going to be hearing a lot more from Emmanuel Macron. Well, we've come to the end of our time. We are now living with an approved COVID vaccine. In the coming days, you're going to be challenged as to what you really believe to be true about the Bible. I believe that. I believe that the church is going through a time of trial right now. And I've always said that by the time that we get raptured out of here, it's going to be like a last minute rescue. And the bullets are going to be flying past our face and the tip of our shoes. The shoelaces themselves are going to be melting. Keep your eyes on the prize. In the coming weeks and months, we're all going to find out what we really believe and how strong our faith actually is. Thank you so much for being part of this broadcast today. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of the Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. This song is going out to Marie as she remembers her mother and father on the third anniversary of their going home.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. To my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine